We open our Bibles in the book of Ruth this morning, the book of Ruth chapter 2, the second chapter of the book of Ruth, and we commence reading from God's precious word at verse number 13. That's Ruth chapter 2, and commencing to read at the verse number 13. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou thither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat before the reapers, she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until the even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen, and God lad his blessing. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word today, and we pray that thou wilt bless it to our hearts now as we meditate upon it. We pray that thou wilt instruct us afresh, that we might gain a fresh insight into the story. And Lord, what thou didst do in the life of a young woman who yielded herself totally unto thee. And, oh God, I pray that the commitment that Ruth had, may that be the commitment that each one of us have to the work of God, even in this place, that thou wilt give that commitment among the people of God. We thank thee for this story that thou hast given to us. And we thank thee in thy sovereignty and, Lord, and in thy plan and purpose, Lord, that thou hast it here for us today. And we pray that as Ruth gleaned in the field, oh, that we might glean in thy word, and Lord, bless it to our souls in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Now, the first half of the second chapter, we'll notice the emphasis is upon two people. On the one hand, it was Boaz, and the other person was Ruth. Now, in our last study, and we've been looking down to verse number 16 of this chapter, we found that Ruth was in the field, working in the field, gleaning after the reapers. Remember how that Boaz came into that field. He had left Bethlehem, he came out into the field, and how that he greeted his servants in a very gracious way, and he desired God's blessing upon them. But we also know the bond that there was between Boaz and his servants, because immediately they responded, and they sought the blessing of God upon him as well. And as we were looking at that story, we found that Boaz, when he came to the field, he noticed this person. You notice how careful he was. He was looking over all his reapers and all those who were doing the work for him and his servants, and the one who was looking after them. And then he noticed there was one person that wasn't usually there. There was one person that he noticed was not amongst, as were one of his reapers, but was gleaning after them. We noticed last Lord's Day in the second chapter, we noticed his presence, how that he came to the field. We noticed his perception, how that he noticed a Ruth there who was not one of his reapers. We noticed his proclamation, verses 8 to 10. We noticed his praise, verses 11 to 12. We noticed his petitioner, verse 13. Verse 14, we noticed his plenty. And then verse 15, 16, we noticed his pity. You see, this grace shown to Ruth by Boaz was beyond the call of any duty. But thank God, you know, he had the right spirit. You know, we live in an age when the spirit is what I can get, give me, or what I can get, rather than what can I give. And we have got that spirit, that selfish spirit. It seems to be it's me that's the center of it all. But Boaz, he was a willing giver. He was a willing giver. In actual fact, he said to his servants, you go down to verse number 16, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. It wasn't only what was natural that he was to leave, because God's law had commanded that for the stranger or for the widow, there was to be a part that was to be left. But no, it was more than that. He gave more than that. He gave abundantly and superabundantly. He said, leave and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Now we want to look at the story again, because the story turns. We have noticed the first part of the story down to verse number 16. It was the story of Boaz and Ruth. But now the story is Ruth and Naomi. And the second part of the story is also an amazing story as well. And I believe there's something that we can glean in the end of the story from verse number 17 down to verse number 23. And let's do that this morning. And let us see just exactly. Because after Ruth received the favor of Boaz, we notice something happened. She went back to her work. Notice it says there in verse number 15, it says, and when she was risen up from up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Remember the last time we noticed Boaz and Ruth were at the table. And how that he gave her, he sat there and he gave her that bread, and he dipped the morsel of bread in the vinegar, and he reached it, that parched corn also, onto her, that she would eat. And then it says, if you notice in verse, the end of verse 14, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. In other words, there was leftovers. There was leftovers. And so therefore, after that she had received the food, in other words, she had received sustenance, what did she do? Did she say, well, you know, I've done enough today, and I'm quite satisfied because my stomach's full? No, she didn't do that. Notice, first of all, the diligence in verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until even. And what she did was this, that after that she got the sustenance to renew her strength, she went back to the labors. She went back to her laboring in and gleaning in the field. She went back to her work. And so she ate, and then she rose up promptly, and she went back to her gleaning. And the word of God says she gleaned until the evening. Now, of course, for you and I to work for the Lord, it's important for us to take time to get that spiritual nourishment. You know, you cannot run on an empty battery. And you cannot keep working on an empty stomach. You need to take in before you're able to continue the work. And it's so important that God's children take the time to study, to get around the Word of God and study the Word of God and glean in the Word of God and get strength from the Word of God. And as the Lord blesses you through the Word, then you can go back to the work and you can serve the Lord with real vigor and with real energy, because you're energized by the Spirit of the Lord. You have fed, you have feasted upon his word. And having received the nourishment, and having received the refreshment, because not only did she take the bread and the parched corn, but the bread was dipped in the vinegar, and that was specially to help her, indeed, her in for her getting refreshment. And so therefore, after doing that, rather than just being satisfied, well, I'm satisfied now, my stomach's full. No, she went back because she remembered it wasn't only for that day. She needed food for the rest of the days. And brethren and sisters, we need food for our soul. And child of God, it is so important. That's why the Word of God says, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. It is so important for God's people to have a burden to come to God's house. And I say this, it really breaks my heart at times when you see that many of God's people have got a lackadaisical attitude to the house of God. Well, if I come, and if I'm tired, well, sure, I can stay at home. Let me tell you, my friend, the Word of God says, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. It is important for you to be among the fellowship of God's people and gain fellowship with God's people and sit under the Word of God and feed on the Word of God and be nourished in the Word of God. And not only that, then in your own homes to take the Word of God down and read it. Read it and feed upon the word. Be nourished, be refreshed in your souls, and then go out into the harvest field to work for the Lord. You need the strength to do the work. This is God's work you're doing. And therefore, you need spiritually fed to go out into the field. Now, after it says here that she gleaned until the even, but she wasn't finished. Notice what she did then. Look at verse number 17. And she beat out that which she had gleaned. She beat out that which she had gleaned. You see, she hadn't finished the job. Children of God, let me tell you and I have a work to do, and we have to keep at it. We have got to finish the work. It's not only starting the work, it's finishing the work is so important. And I've always prayed, oh God, help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. And that's what I long for God's people. That friend, you keep refreshed, you keep fed and nourished by the Word of God to be in the work of God and keep at the work of God until the last day. Don't stop halfway. Many of God's people give up. They lose heart. Here was a young woman. Yes, her stomach was full. Yes, she had gleaned. She said, well, I'm satisfied. That's enough. No. She had to beat out. The Word of God says she beat out that which she had gleaned. In other words, she continued on. And what that simply meant is she took a stick to the stalks of grain and she separated the grain from the stalks. The threshing was hard. Yes, it was hard to really beat out the grain. But she knew that if she desired the blessing of the grain and the food, she had to finish the work. And many of God's people, let me tell you, they want the blessing, but they don't want to do the work. We live in an age of just give me and just hand it to me. I want to tell you, my friend, if you want and you want God's blessing, you have got to be a part of the work. You just can't sit on the sidelines and say, ah, preacher, feed me. Feed me. I want to tell you, brother, if you want to be blessed of God, if you want to be a blessing, then you've got to get involved in the work. And she was willing to finish the work. She did the work of God properly. She honored the Lord in what she had done. You know, friend, we have got to honor the Lord. And we have got to finish it. And you know what the finishing of the work is this? It's not only to do the gleaning, but I can tell you, well, not only to be fed of the Word of God, but we've got to obey. We have got to obey. The hymn writer says, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And notice how her labors were rewarded. This is what it says in verse 17. It was about an ephah of barley that she had. Now, that is between 20 and 30 pounds weight. That's what she came back with. In the end of the day, she had beaten out the barley. And thank God it says here, she had 20 to 30 pounds of barley and she made her way home. Thank God the Word of God says this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I can tell you, if you work for the Lord is no man's debtor. The Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you for your labors for him. But brother and sister in Jesus Christ, keep at it. Keep at the work. And you know, she beat it out, and it was well into the late evening. And then she took it up. And can you see her carry it? She goes back into the city. She's tired. But my, she's content. She's content. Here is a good day's work. And she makes her way back to Naomi. And friend, let me tell you this. It says in verse number 18, and she took it up and went into the city. In other words, not only did she glean in the fields, not only did she beat out the barley, but then she put it on her shoulder and she carried it the whole way home. She carried it. Yes, she had to finish the job completely. Don't stop halfway. Don't stop in the midst of the work, brother. If God has called you to the work, keep at it until the Lord shows you that it is time for to lay aside that work. She was tired, but she was content. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy. And I can tell you there is no greater joy than the joy of the soul winner. He that beareth precious seed, he goeth forth bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, what a joy. What a joy to be able under God to lead souls to Jesus Christ. And here's this girl. And there we see her diligence. But notice something else. Second thing I want to say, notice her dedication. Notice her dedication. Let's go to verse 18 quickly. And she took it up, and she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after that she had sufficed. Now, what's this all about? Well, it says her mother-in-law saw her. Can you imagine Naomi? Naomi, yes, Ruth has been away all day. It's late in the evening. The evening has passed, and this girl has been working, and now she's, where is she? She's wondering where she is. And then she hears the footsteps of Ruth coming. And Naomi goes out to see where she is. And there she, after having waited and wondered, now she sees. And she saw what Ruth had gleaned. She saw the burden that Ruth carried. But she noticed that Ruth has a joyful countenance. You see, the day's labor has been crowned with blessing. And here's this girl coming home. And Naomi immediately saw that Ruth had met with grace. The grace that she had prayed about. Remember when she was going out in the early chapter? She had prayed in verse number 2. It says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she went out seeking grace. She had prayed for that in the morning before she had left. Lord, guide me. And God did. He guided her to the right field. He guided her to the right place. And there she sees, she saw. She saw Ruth coming home with a burden on her back. But my, she sees a smile of contentment, rejoicing. It's been a day worth it. And friend, isn't it good? The Bible says that on that day, whenever we come home, to come home rejoicing, bearing our sheaves with us. Life has been worth it. Life has been worth it. It's all been worthwhile to bear sheaves, to bring them home with us to glory, to lead precious souls to Jesus Christ and see them going on with God and pressing on and then bringing them home with us to heaven itself. But notice, before they talked about the day, it says this, she gave to her, that she gave to Naomi, that she had reserved after she was sufficed. What did she give her? Well, it says in the end of verse 14, she was sufficed and left. In other words, she had left over something special for, you see, whenever she was sitting at that table, she wasn't thinking of herself. She was thinking of the one she loved, Naomi. She was thinking of Naomi. And quite often, friend, let me tell you this. Whenever we are filling our stomach, we forget about others. But she didn't. She thought when she was sitting at that table, yes, what she got at that table, she sufficed. In other words, she had enough. But because there was some left, she didn't cram it in and say, listen, I'm not going to leave that. No, no. What was left, she took with her for Naomi. She was thinking about Naomi. And I pray that God will help us as we live our lives. Remember this. Others. Others. Life's not all about you. Life's not all about me. Your Christian life, my friend, it's not about our blessing simply alone. It's others. Where do others come in your testimony? Where do others come in your life? Or are you so caught up in yourself that you think there's nobody outside of you? Others. I sing a wee hymn, give me a heart for others that I might win them for thee. Friend, and that was what, here's the selflessness of her deed. She wasn't self-centered. She was thinking about Naomi. And she saved that extra food. You know, let me tell you this. You might think that was a wee small thing, but you notice it wasn't small. God recorded it. God recorded it in His Word. The very fact that what was left, what when she was sufficed, and what was reserved or what was left, she reserved it for Naomi. God recorded it. You see, friend, listen, little as much when God's in it. Little as much when God's in it. And I tell you this, the Word of God says that whosoever shall give even that cup of cold water, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And if you give that cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, if you're doing it with a heart not to be seen, not to be lauded, not to be plotted and say, oh, look at him, isn't he great? And what he's doing. No, no, friend. Ruth didn't do that because she wanted Naomi to praise her. She did it because of love. It was out of a heart of love. And here we see just how her dedication here was, she was thinking about Naomi. You know, the Bible says, by their deeds you shall know them. Acts chapter 20, also verse 35 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, it's not always receiving, but it's more blessed to give. The spirit of giving. And many of God's people have Mark can tell you this, they might have quite an open heart, but they have a very close fist. But I can tell you, it's more blessed to give, to receive. And you want the blessing of the Lord. This is the pathway. And so we find here, we see first of all, the diligence. We see the dedication. Look thirdly at the deduction. Because it says here in verse number 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. You see, whenever Naomi saw what Ruth had carried home, immediately she deduced this fact. She realized this was more than she could have gathered, that Ruth could have gathered in her own labors. You remember, Boaz says, leave handfuls of purpose. In other words, leave handfuls of grain on purpose for Ruth. And it was only what God was blessing her. And Naomi, she deducted right straight away. The deduction which she made was this, that this is more than could have been gathered by following the reapers or picking up the leftovers. And therefore she inquired this, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? John Wesley said, it's a good question to ask ourselves in the evening. where have you gleaned today? And friend, it is. Ruth was happy to respond where she had gleaned that day. But look back on the week that has passed, friend. Where hast thou gleaned this week? Where have you spent your time this week? How much time did you give to the Lord? How much time did you give for God's word? How much time did you give to talk to the Lord? Where have you gleaned this week? Have you spent it on yourself? Have you spent your life occupied just simply, maybe just on the financial things and the things of this world, and you haven't gleaned in the field of God? You haven't searched the word of God this week. You've left off. Where hast thou gleaned? It says in Ephesians 5 verse 15, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, buying back the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Have you been gleaning this week? Where wroughtest thou? Where have you spent all your labors? How much did you give to the Lord, friend? How much time did you give for him? Now, you'll notice that Naomi deduced Ruth had been shown favor. She had been shown grace. It says, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She immediately knew that what Ruth had come back with, listen, that she had been shown favor. You notice something? You notice the change that's coming over Naomi's life? She said, blessed be thou the Lord, verse 20. The Lord's coming into our conversation. What do you see, friend? What is this change? Listen, whenever she talks about the Lord, she's not complaining. She's not in bitterness anymore. No, she says, blessed be thou of the Lord. Her complaint, her anger, her bitterness, there's a change of attitude. Even though she doesn't know who it is, first of all, blessed be he. She hasn't been told it's Boaz yet. But blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And therefore, there is a change in attitude. He that hath showed you. And then we find that whenever Ruth answers her, he says, listen, the man's name with whom I wrought today was Boaz. Notice the delight in verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And I believe that Naomi's acknowledging here the hand of the Lord and his providence in this. She's not giving honor to Boaz. She's giving honor to the Lord. She's acknowledging this is the Lord's doing. The Lord who has not forgotten. The Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. See, chapter 1, Naomi's bitter. In chapter 2, her bitterness is turned to blessing. But how did it happen? Through the life of Ruth. Wearsby said, it is encouraging to see the changes that have taken place in Naomi because of what Ruth did. God used Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness into gratitude, her unbelief into faith, her despair into hope. What is that saying to us? That you can be a blessing to somebody. That God can make your life a rich blessing in his hand. Just as Ruth's life changed bitterness into blessing in Naomi's life, so your life, if it's lived right to the glory of God, friend, you can be a blessing to someone else, a rich blessing to somebody else. Is that what you want your life to be? A blessing? Tell me. You see the people you've met this past week? See the conversation you held with them? Tell me. Remember, God was listening to it. Did it bless them? Did you encourage somebody this past week? Or did you discourage them? Did you talk about the Lord? Or did you talk about gossip? Did you talk about your love for Him? Or your anger for others? What's it been all about? You see, friend, Ruth's life made a difference. Ruth's work made a difference in the life of Naomi, and so can yours today. Your life can really make a difference. But you know, Naomi's acknowledged, "Blessed be he of the Lord. It's the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." It was the Lord who stopped the famine. It was the Lord who had changed Ruth's heart and bound her in love to Naomi. It was the Lord who had preserved Boaz for Ruth. Ruth just didn't happen to go into Boaz's field. The Lord directed her there. She was honoring the Lord. And friend, remember this. That's what man's chief end is. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Not enjoy ourselves, but enjoy Him. Her heart was filled, Naomi's heart's now filled with gratitude. And then notice the declaration she makes. And Naomi said, verse number 20, and said unto Ruth, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Do you not hear the excitement that's there? Naomi's got excited. Ruth, listen, the man's our near kinsman. He is one of our next kinsmen. One of our close relatives. One of our next kinsmen. That is kinsman redeemer. And Ruth is told that Boaz is in the position by blood relationship to redeem the estate of Elimelech, to fulfill the duty of the kinsman by marrying Ruth. And Naomi's acknowledging he is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Now notice, there was another. He was one. What was the qualification of a kinsman? First of all, blood relative. Relation. Secondly, possessing the necessary resources to act as a kinsman. Thirdly, willing to pay the purchase price to buy back. Willing to take as one's bride to raise up a family unto that loved one. And friend, all the qualifications and all the qualities are fulfilled in Boaz. He was one of two that could do it. And then, notice what Ruth says to Naomi, verse 21. Time's quickly going here. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." he said unto me. In other words, he had a personal word for me. Thou shalt keep fast. And the word is, thou shalt glue yourself to my servants. Boaz is letting Ruth know that his concern is not only for a day. But notice it says here, the harvest, until they have ended all my harvest. But he's saying, remember, stay close. Stay close to my young men. These are dangerous times, Ruth. Go not into any other's field. Don't wander off. Keep fast. Stay close. Join closely. Cleave. He was telling her his favor, it was going on until the end of the harvest season. In other words, till the work was finished. Until the work was finished. See, all my harvest. You know what that meant? If you look there in verse number 23, it says this, until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. You see, it was not only until the end of the barley harvest, because the barley harvest ended in April, and the wheat harvest ended in July. In other words, he's saying, listen, stay, Ruth. You don't need to go. Stay. All my harvest. You know, she didn't view Boaz's favor just and say, well, listen, I'll take it and do nothing. But notice what it says here, verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest. She didn't say, well, listen, here, I'll just stay by them and I'll not do any work anymore. No, friend. She discharged her duty to the end of the harvest. And what did Boaz see there? He saw a woman of faithfulness to the end of the harvest. And friend, that's so important. Faithful until the end. Faithful to the end of the harvest. She was glad to continue to discharge her duty. She didn't desire to take advantage of Boaz's favor. But notice lastly what Naomi said, verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. Naomi gave her good advice. Don't let the opportunity pass without seizing it. Stay. And friend, let me tell you, only one life, that's all you've got. You're not going to get another rerun of this. You have only one life to give. I must not miss the well done of God. That's wonderful, says Naomi. That's wonderful. Do it. Do it as he said. Stick close. In other words, stay in the center of the will of Boaz. To the end. And friend, that's my advice to this congregation. Stay in the center of the will of God to the end. To the end. The wonderful thing is this, Ruth did it. See, it's one thing to know what you should do. It's one thing to get advice. It's another thing to do it. She was submissive. She did it. She was steadfast. She remained faithful till the end of the harvest. What did Paul say? He said, I've fought a good fight. He says, I finished the course. In other words, the end. And I've kept the faith. Brethren and sisters, young people, starting in life's journey, young people, listen, keep going. Keep going to the end. And then thank God henceforth a crown which the righteous judge shall give you on that day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what you could write over Ruth. Well done, you've been a good and faithful servant. And God rewarded her for it. And God will bless you if you keep going to the end. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. We thank and we praise thee for a godly young woman who left her heathen teaching behind and was sold out to thee, the God of Israel. We thank thee for her faithfulness to the end of the harvest. May that be said of every child of God here in this place today. I fought a good fight. Finished the course. In Jesus' name.